The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Coming up on Life Today, Beth Moore explains why we never feel completely comfortable.
If you and I are thinking that God is going to deliver us from every single thing that makes us feel like we don't fit here on planet Earth, then you're out of your darling little mind. Because the truth of it is, theologically, biblically, we do not fit here. This is not our home.
Learning how we can become great men and women of valor, even though we feel like misfits.
Joining us, and it's Wednesdays, and Beth is here to teach and for you to listen with open hearts. I'm Betty, and this is James.
It always is a pleasure for us to come into your home and share what we believe is a fresh breath of air, spiritual inspiration, insight, oftentimes correction, challenging words. Well, Beth Moore's got quite a word dealing with Naaman the leper. I think that you're going to find that what she says pierces to the core. And I think you're going to find God lifting every load and every weight. We trust to Him. Here is Beth Moore. Welcome her.
This is the revelation that I think somebody needs to get today, is that almost every single one of us feels like a misfit. This is the secret that we're going to say out loud, because what our leprosy, whatever it is, and I hope you're thinking that through, our leprosy is that thing that makes us feel like we don't really fit. I want to ask you a question because I think this will be insightful. How many of you have had the thought go through your mind in the course of the last 2 weeks? I wish so much I could see you answer this. How many of you have had the thought in the last 2 weeks, I don't fit here? Is there anybody who's been in a situation, whether at work, whether in your friendships, whether at your school, wherever it may be, that you have had that conscious thought, maybe in a church, and you've just thought, I don't fit. I don't fit. Here's the revelation. People that feel fitted are the ones that really don't fit. Because the truth of it is, across the board, we all struggle with this thing inside of us that says, I don't fit. I don't fit in this family. I got teased a lot in my family growing up because I was the only blonde in a family full of very, very dark brunettes. And so the thing was, where did you come from? And it was just a tease, but it was that feeling. All of my brothers and sisters were very musically talented. Not one iota of it hit me. I love music, but I'm not a musician of any kind. And so it was just this misfit, constant misfit. But the truth of it is, we are misfits. All of us feel that way. There's something that constantly reminds us we don't fit. And here's what I want to suggest to you. I do believe God wants to deal with us on our leprosy. But if you and I are thinking that God is going to deliver us from every single thing that makes us feel like we don't fit here on planet Earth, then you're out of your darling little mind. Because the truth of it is, theologically, biblically, we do not fit here. This is not our home. Hebrews 11 tells us that they, the people of faith, they longed for a better country. Let me tell you something. There is such misunderstanding of the whole concept of longing that it's what causes many people to marry, divorce, get in a heavy relationship, breakup, get in another one, breakup, get in another one, breakup, get in another one, breakup, go from job to job to job to job, church to church to church to church, because they cannot identify their longing. You've got something in you that will not be satiated until you get to your real home. We are citizens of a different country. We don't fit here. So if we keep going from relationship or place to place looking for where we're going to fit, we're going to do this all our lives. I'm not saying God doesn't lead us elsewhere. But I'm saying if it's all based on the fact that, you know, I just cannot get completely happy. I cannot tell you how many young women will tell me, I'm not completely happy in my relationship with my husband. Is he a good man? Yes. Oh, he's a good man. And I love to ask you, you know, are you fairly, do you have a fair amount of faith in common? They might say yes, yes, but I'm not completely happy. I'm like to be your cheerleader. I don't like to be the bubble buster, but I need to bust somebody's bubble for their own good for just a minute here. You're not going to be completely happy here. We will have many moments of bliss. I have some moments with my grandchildren that feel almost like my skin is going to split because it's just so right. Moments of I'd almost call it a perfect moment, but it never stays. I can't hang on to it. I'll look at all my people sometimes and we're all laughing and talking. I walked out the other day. I just had my girls all to myself. My man was out of town. Their husbands were doing things. And so I just somehow unplanned. My two adult daughters were at my house. I walked out on the back porch. We got a little fireplace on the back porch my husband put in for us. And they're out there and they're just almost face to face just talking 100 miles an hour. And I stood there, took it in because it was a moment of bliss. But in a little while, they got up and went. Because we get these moments. We're misfit because we have got eternity in our hearts, Ecclesiastes said. When Melissa was 6 years old and in the first grade, she was hospitalized for something called rotavirus. It's where a kid starts throwing up and days later, they are still throwing up. And we were just so concerned for her. Put her in the hospital. She was in it almost a solid week. Her first grade class made her cards out of construction paper. And to this day, they are some of the sweetest things I have in my treasure trove of keepsakes for my children. I wish so much I had thought to bring it because one was just a very basic card, not a lot written on it, just a few words. It just said on the inside of it, it said, I thrupped too. It was spelled phonetically. THRUPT, I thrup too. And you know what? That was my favorite card because she entered in. Everybody else was sorry she was sick. But Jennifer, she thrup too. Now, I don't know what you need from people, but when I'm going through a difficult time, when I'm really hard on myself, it would help me for someone to just go, I thrup too. It doesn't help me just go, I'm so sorry, you lame, lame soul. I just need somebody to go, I thrup too. Look at one another and say, I thrup too. All right, so Annabeth, my granddaughter Annabeth is almost 4 years old, and she is just delicious. Oh, I am so crazy about her. But you know, girls, they just never, ever close their mouth, especially in my family, and I bet you don't have trouble picturing that. But she was in the back seat. Amanda had Annabeth and her best friend, Ellison, in the car, bringing them home for Mother's Day out. And Ellison is a little bit younger. And you know, to a little bitty kid, any older is just like, I'm so sophisticated and so much more than you. And they normally just play beautifully together. But for some reason, it was just on Annabeth to be just a little bit proud of herself. And she told Ellison, she put it this way. This is, you know, we do try to always have our manners where I'm coming from. She said, when you're old enough, you can come to my ballet class with me and all my friends. Well, Amanda said the part that bothered Amanda the most was the all my friends part. Because she thought, okay, now wait, okay. So she says to Annabeth, hey, honey, and who are your friends at ballet? And so she said, Annabeth went silent for a few seconds and she went, Gula, Mula, Shula, Lula, and Tula. And I mean, Amanda said, like, she thought they were gonna go for it. Yeah. Amanda said it was quintuplets gone all wrong. It was just the funniest thing. And so sometimes the reason why we won't just own our leprosy is because we care so much what Mula and Gula and Shula, Lula and Tula are thinking about us. But the truth is, Gula, Shula, Tula, and Lula, they all have leprosy. Claim it. Claim it. Now, here's something I want you to see with me because I think this is just huge. I'm going to ask him to bring back up on the screen our sentence that you and I are filling in together. Remember what it says, he or she. I want you to stick this. And it says, he was, and then we've got a blank. He was this, but he was this. She was this, but she was this. I'll put it in first person. I am this, but I am definitely this. Here's what I want to present to you as we conclude the first half of our series. I want to present to you that every single one, I'm going to say it again to you, every single one of us, that includes you. Every single one of us, every single one listening, watching, tuned in today, every single person on the planet has the capability of being a great man or woman of valor. What I want you to understand where it says in that first verse of 2 Kings 5, he was a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. When I asked you earlier, if somebody was writing a biography on you, how could they fill in the first half? Can you think of anything better than for it to say, she was a mighty woman of valor? He was a mighty man of valor. To be brave. I mean, honestly, do we just want people to remember that they were cute, so talented? No, a great woman of valor. I want to encourage you women for a moment because you may be going, I don't know, is that biblically appropriate? I'm going to suggest to you it is more than biblically appropriate. I got to tell you that the word that is used that is right here, the root Hebrew word that is translated right here for that mighty man of valor, for that valor, is the same one that we would find in several other places in Scripture, a number of places, but I'm going to pick out four to you. These are all coming from the same word right here. He was a mighty man of valor. That's our key word, but he was a leper. We would find it again in Judges 6, verse 12, where it says, the Lord is with you. It's God coming to Gideon, and he says, the Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor. But it appears, same Hebrew word, appears with two women in the Old Testament. I hope you find this interesting. It comes up with Ruth. It comes up with Ruth, and then it comes up with that very annoying Proverbs 31 woman in verse 10. You mean in Ruth, it's Ruth 3:11, if any of you want to go check this out. Ruth 3:11, for all my fellow townsmen know that you are a worthy woman. So they don't there, the translators didn't translate it into a valiant woman. They just put a worthy woman. I want that. I like that just fine. In the Proverbs 31, 10 woman, when it's talking about the Proverbs woman, it says a woman of noble character in some of your translations. A woman of noble character. A woman, I believe it's the King James Version that says a woman of virtue, a virtuous woman. I love the word noble. I love the word virtuous, but it just so happens that the word elsewhere, when it comes to men, is translated valiant. Now, don't misunderstand me. I don't want somebody taking this lesson and go, this really smacks of spiritual bra burning to me. No, it does not. No, it does not. Because what that says is that if I am going to be a brave woman of God, I could not be a wonderful wife to my husband, and that is biblically incorrect. It's very interesting because right after it's used in Proverbs 31:10, the very next thing it says about her is that her husband entrusts his heart to her. He doesn't see her as domineering. He sees her as a woman he can trust. Now, I'm going to tell you something in my household. There are a lot of things that Keith may say to me. It's so funny about Keith. His little sister is here, and I bet that she sometimes has experienced the same thing about him. He'll get shy or one-on-one face-to-face. But invariably, when he gets in the car to drive somewhere, he will call me and tell me something really sappy. That's when he's going to tell me. He does tell me he loves me to my face, but he will get in the car, call me, and tell me all manner of things because it's just not so face-to-face. But there's a favorite thing he might say to me one-on-one, without a doubt. If he came to me and said, "You are a cute little woman," I would think, "Thank you, glad you think so." My favorite thing that Keith ever says to me, and he doesn't say it seldom. I mean, he will especially will come to me when he knows I need it. He will get me by the shoulders like this, and he will say to me, "You are the bravest woman I know." He says, "Make no mistake, I have lived with you a long time. You are the bravest woman I know." Because I'll go, "I'm such a coward." "You, woman, are the bravest woman I know." And I'm like, yes! if my man can tell me that I'm a brave woman, of all the things he could say, because I don't know what this skin's going to look like in 15 years, I can still be a valiant woman. Mighty woman, a woman of valor. That can last till the last minute. You can be a valiant woman all the way to your last breath. Have you ever known anyone valiant to their very last breath? That girlfriend, that guy friend can carry you. We really can become great men and women of valor. That's number three in our closing point. We really can become great men and women of valor.
And Beth is so right, we can be. I think there are far too few of us who are men and women of valor. You know, the New Testament book of Acts characterized the church most frequently not with the term that you might have thought, compassion, and yet it was there, but you saw the word boldness. Boldness, boldness. The reference that they couldn't help but speak, the things they had seen and heard, they were eyewitnesses, as Simon Peter said in his own letter, eyewitnesses of His majesty. I pray that what Beth has shared is a blessing to you and every one of these Wednesday's programs when we're seeking to take you into the Word so that the Word carries you. Father, thank you for what Beth shared. Help us to apply it to our everyday lives. In Jesus' name. I want you to look in on something and what you're going to hear as you look in on this scene of some of the most tragic things anywhere on this earth, where you find people who are literally held against their will, prisoners, trafficked sexually for someone else's gain, and you'll hear the staggering amount annually, $32 billion. Children taken prisoners, totally against their will, and sold for a profit. Watch with your heart.
These are the ones that I preyed upon, innocent kids, just playing around in their neighborhood. But these are some of the kids that are actually in danger.
Every child is at risk, but little girls are especially at risk. They're taken and they're trafficked into the red light district.
This evil, known as human trafficking, destroys the lives of thousands of innocent children, little by little, through unspeakable acts of sexual violence, for the sole purpose of making money.
This man has now been asking Lakshmi's mother for her. He wants her to start to sell herself to men so that he can be making money.
This is the reality of human trafficking, It is people living in the shadows, depraved people, trading in human flesh, who for the love of money are taking captive young girls and using them like caged animals until their bodies can no longer perform the sordid acts demanded of them.
Can you imagine to be taken as a 9-year-old little girl, spending your entire life in the brothel, and then thrown out like an animal because you can no longer sell your body as a sex slave?
These children, these girls, are crying for someone to help them find a way out before they too are left for dead.
What people do for the love of money, to take children, just that woman that Gazelle was talking about, and by the way, she was trafficked. And she works with us now. And you know what we do with those women when we get them set free? We rescue them. We teach them a trade so they can make a living, which is how many of them were taken into slavery, because their parents were told they were being taken to teach them a skill so they could make a living and help their impoverished family. And now, Betty, we can get them out of that situation and put them in a place. We're seeking in Cambodia to build a safe house. We desperately need it. I mean, it really is a house of hope and a house of destiny, which is what we call the home in Thailand, which is an unbelievable place. Well, we need to start a safe house there, and it's going to cost $345,000. It'll be about $2 million here in the States. But over there, because of the labor and because of the less expensive building, we can do that. But we need your help to do it. And Betty, it takes $128 average to rescue someone like that woman that Gazelle was talking about. And everybody can do that, or at least give part of it. We got some friends that will match what people give. In other words, if you had, say, $64 now, it would then be matched, and we'd have $128. So there's a level at which everyone can step in and help us.
And that's not very much. That cost is not very much when you think about what you're doing. You're reaching out and you're giving hope to the hopeless. These precious children don't know when they're taken what's ahead of them. They don't know the imprisonment that they're put into, the abuse and all the just horrible things that they go through. They're treated worse than animals, and we can make that difference. We can give them a place to lay their little heads. We can give them a place they can go to be children as they should be able to be. So please join with us and let's reach out to these precious little ones.
You know, they had an Academy Award winning film several years ago called Slumdog Millionaire, and it showed how they were taking children right where we work in India, and you saw one of our missionaries there in India, where children would be left near the railroad and the parents just leave them. And then predators would come and get them, and they would take them into sexual slavery, but they would also take them and pluck out one of their eyes or cut off one of their hands so they would make beggars out of them, and they would be more effective as beggars if they didn't have a hand or they didn't have an eye. And that's how evil the love of money can make people. Money's not evil, it does good things. I'm asking you to help people with money, but the love of money causes people to do those things, and then being a slave, sold in sexual bondage. Those people are there totally against their will. They're not trying to make a living. They're being used. And the love of God through missionaries and relief workers, we can set them free, but they need our support. The missionaries have planted their lives in the midst of that pain and suffering. Now they ask us, keep us here. Give us the wherewithal to put loving arms around them. Would you dial that number? I'm so glad missionaries can communicate with us at Life, because they know our viewers want to share the life and love of God. Would you dial that number, take your bank card, use it like a check, please, or go online and make your gift, lifetoday.org. Your gift to help us rescue those precious children and those women will be doubled, matched by some caring friends that believe in what we're doing. And then we need you to help us build that safe house. If you could possibly make a gift of $1,000 or more, please, that's going to cost $345,000 alone. We have some special gifts for you to say thank you, but I think when you see what your love does, that's all the thanks you need. We give you gifts to bless you in your spiritual journey because we love you and we care about your journey. Thank you so much for making that call. Thank you for your gift.
human trafficking. It's impossible to believe, but at this very moment, innocent children, many very young, are being sold and forced into sexual slavery and exploited in every way imaginable. And someone must save them. With your help today, we can reach, rescue, and restore their hope for a better future. And now, a miracle opportunity of a matching grant means your gift of $128 to help rescue a child will be matched to help rescue two children. Your $64 gift will be matched to help rescue one child from the horrors of human trafficking. This year, with your help, we also hope to build a safe house in Cambodia where young rescued girls can find safety, loving care, and direction for a new life. The cost of this safe house is $345,000. With your gift, please request My Daily Gift, a beautiful new devotional describing the great love of God who treasures you more than you can imagine. With your gift of $128, which today will help rescue two children, you'll receive the Side-by-Side Bible, which includes the easy-to-read New International Version and the Amplified Text with its additional words and insights. Finally, please prayerfully consider a gift of $1,000 to help establish the safe house in Cambodia. And you may request our 2014 commemorative glass sculpture, The Blessing. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
Betty and I, from the depth of our hearts, say thank you. You talk about joy unspeakable, full of glory. You know, it's wonderful when God sets us free from areas of incredible bondage, challenges, and battles. But when we have a part in setting someone free, we want to say thank you for your gift, which will be matched. Your $64 can become $128. Your $128 can go from rescuing one to two. We'll be sending you, for any gift, My Daily Gift, 100 promises from God, then the study Bible, the side-by-side version. And if you'll help us with the safe house, we want to send you The Blessing. You're going to be a blessing. This is a beautiful, beautiful glass sculpture. And we want to say thank you for helping us build that safe house. I pray you'll make a gift of $1,000 or perhaps several thousand if you can. It's going to be a wonderful place. Thank you so much for watching Life Today. Would you encourage your friends to watch? I think they'll be blessed if they do. Thank you.
God Himself marched into your circumstance and pulled that thing off. Every time that happens, that builds your confidence level for the next time.
Priscilla Shirer, tomorrow. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.